Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Just asking that those of you who join us, we're always here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Would you join us with devotion, song, scripture, prayer?
Praise God. We'd like to sing, Give Me a Clean Heart. Give me a clean heart, so I may serve Thee. Lord, fix my heart so that I may be used by Thee. For I'm not worthy of all these blessings. Give me a clean heart and I'll follow Thee. I'm not asking for the riches of this land, and I'm not asking for her men to know my name. Please give me, Lord, a clean heart that I may follow Thee. Give me a clean heart and I follow Thee.
Amen. The scripture reading for tonight is found in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32. This is the New Living Translation's word. With the Lord's authority, let me say this. Live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They do not care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurities and greed. But that isn't what you were taught when you learned about Christ. Since you have heard all about Him and have learned the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of the thoughts and attitude. You must display a new nature because you are a new person, created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. So put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth, because we belong to each other, and don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, stop stealing. Begin using your hands for honest work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul and abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He is the one who has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Free of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to everyone, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. I've read for you Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word.
Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, we come to you now, thanking you for this day, thanking you for your grace and your mercy, Father God. Lord, we thank you for everyone on the line and those who are listening on the radio. And, Father, we just thank you for your provision and protection of us all, saving us, all of your children throughout the world, Lord. And, Father God, we just thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit of truth that's leading and guiding us into all truth. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that your word would go forth tonight on this Bible study, that it would penetrate our hearts, that we would receive the blessing, the revelation, knowledge, and understanding of your word, and that it would we would then be able to go into the world as your disciples, Lord, leading and guiding and blessing others, to telling them the good news of what you have done for us as we are examples of you, Father God. And so, Lord, we just thank you, and we just pray that you would just continue to bless all of us and our families and friends, our businesses, our jobs. Lord, we just give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. And we thank you, Father, for hearing and answering all of our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Again, we just want to thank everybody for joining us at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study from 7 to 8 p.m. every Tuesday. Now we've had our devotion, and I'd like to invite you to continue with us as Dr. James Nooks, is going to lead us in today's Bible study with the subject, Forgiving the Unforgivable. We have just read the text, Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. Dr. Nooks.
Amen. There are many things in life that happen that are very difficult for us to forgive. And I just listed down a few things like murder, rape, child abuse, abuse of any kind. I think of the man that held the young women prisoner for several years, even longer than a decade, and then he wound up killing himself in prison. But I think it would be very hard but I want to talk about forgiving the unforgivable tonight, and I want us to try to think of maybe some times when it would be very difficult to forgive someone. Henry Nouwen writes, "Forgiveness is the way to step over the wall and welcome others into my heart without expecting anything in return. Maybe the authentic discipline of forgiveness is more climbing over than stepping over." And we have Matthew 21-22, where then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." That's Matthew 18:21-22. Just forgiving principles. We went over a few things the last time, and I want to just review a few points. Forgiveness is a process, thought and practiced. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is impossible apart from God. The path to forgiveness is not intended to be walked alone. And forgiveness is tangible. It's beyond words. And forgiveness heals the forgiver. If we are Christ-like, we are to forgive. For Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Can you imagine a Jesus that came here to die for us, and then the very people that he came to save kill him. And he says on the cross, "Father, forgive them." And we find the story of Stephen. When Stephen was being stoned, he murmured similar words, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." I'd like to just pose a question. Is there something that you can think of that you would not be able to forgive somebody for?
This is Eric. Dr. Nooks, I think most of us would like to think that, you know, being children of God, that, you know, we could overcome all of it, but I venture to say that we struggle to forgive people for any small amount of things. I was going to be real. I mean, we get angry when people cut us off in traffic. We get mad and angry with folks when we don't get service the way we think we ought to get it, and we act contrary to what our names, Christ-like Christians, say that we are. I don't think we can give when our mates are tipping with somebody else. I know that they're small things. I hate to venture to think about murder and, you know, an abuse of you know, me or my family members or my children.
Yeah.
I mean, even in my walk today, I mean, you don't know till you've been placed in that situation, and if you can't master the small things of forgiveness, we certainly not going to master the big things of forgiveness. I'll share with y'all just from my own, just a couple weeks ago, I had purchased a couple suits, and they had to be altered, and it was going to take them a month. And I was okay with that, but the day that they promised them to me, they were not ready. And I went in the store, and I called them first, and they said, "Oh, you know, they'll be, you know, they're not ready." And this was like 4:00. "Oh, they'll be ready at 6:00. They're finishing them up now." And so I go in the store at 7:00, and they're still not ready. So I'm like, "Well, they won't be ready till tomorrow." And I lost it. I'm like, "That's unacceptable. I mean, you promised me that they'd be ready then. They're not ready. That's unacceptable." And the guy was trying to talk to me, and I just walked out. And I was angry. Lord, I was angry. And I drove out, and I got around the block, and the Lord said to me, "So that's how I look when I'm trying to deal with people?" I literally had to go back to that store and apologize to those folks. Because even though they promised me something and it wasn't right, I had no right to carry on like I did and call myself a Christian. And so if we cannot master the small things about forgiving people, of being able to break a promise on a suit, which I didn't need to wear anyway, you know, how are we going to master the big things?
The scripture said, this is Dr. Susie, it says, if you can't walk with the footman, what you going to do when the horsemen come?
Yeah. But I think, this is Eric again, but I think that we all want to believe that, you know, in our faith journey now, that, yeah, you know, we could master that, but I don't know. I mean, I know I can't master it on my own accord. Let me put it like that.
Amen. Amen. And one of our principles was this path to forgiveness is not intended to be walked alone. Somebody else have a comment about that? Something that you're not... Go ahead, Sean.
No, I was just going to say, and this may be the coward's way out, but I know, as they say, to thyself be true, I know that I can have a temper. Honestly, I try not to think of things that I don't think I could forgive someone for. I'm kind of like Eric. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to know till I get there, but there have been times when similar to what he's saying, where I feel justified in my anger or, you know, my disappointment or whatever they were supposed to do and whatever, and or I was wrong, and I wanted to, you know, lash out, and it wasn't but the grace of God. A word just, you know, internally told me, no, walk away. I let it go, walk, you know what I'm saying? So it was not, mm-hmm. I really, it was of me and my self-control. I think it was the Holy Spirit within me that is telling me, you know better. I mean, that what happened may be a fact, okay, they might have wronged you, but that does not okay or justify your true desire to want to do something in retaliation or response to what they did. And so, you know, and I ain't going to lie, it was hard to walk away. I mean, it was hard. You're talking about these people talking about counting the 10. I mean, I've had stuff that kind of happened simmer within me for a day or two. I mean, really, it's like, you know, it is depending on what it is. And also, it depends on, you know, timing is everything, you know, so you know, it's just, so I try not to think of it because I guess I don't honestly want to admit that I, you know, probably have a dark side, but I try not to allow myself to go there or consider the dark side. I believe, you know, I try to, like, not think that is an option, you know, because like you said at the beginning, we have choices, you know, it's a choice that you make. And so if I don't allow that to be an option, then, you know, that saves me, you know, not necessarily, well, saves them in the moment, but it saves me in the long run. So that's just kind of how I guess I think about things in terms of being wronged and having to forgive people. I just, you know, I have to trust God and pray, Lord, help me to, you know, take away the anger, the frustration, the stress of me. And then let him and just say, Lord, you know what they did, so, you know, you deal with them. And I remind him of his word. He said, vengeance is mine. So I'm like, Lord, you said that, so you punish them, because you know if you let me, I'll definitely do it. But since you said I can't, I look at it. So.
Anyone else? I like to throw maybe a perspective in here is I think sometimes, and I think I can use myself as an example, we think that we would like to, I guess, project to people that we are okay, that we are Christians, that we don't let things get to us and get us angry. And sometimes I think as growing up thinking that I was supposed to be this good little boy, would not admit that I was angry or that something bothered me and sort of suppress it, and because I wanted to project this image. But yet it still bothered me, and I think it affected me, and I think it still affects me. And I think some of us do that, and it affects us when we're not aware of it, maybe sometimes in how we treat people or how we don't trust or mistrust, or maybe we get angry and where'd that come from, you know. And it doesn't have anything to do with the person that's standing in front of you necessarily, because sometimes we suppress things rather than saying, God, you know, I'm angry, that upsets me, and I need to deal with it. Can you help me to deal with it? Do you think, have any of you seen that kind of a scenario? And I guess no one has.
Yeah, this is something I have. I mean, I have, and that's what I was saying earlier, is that there's been times where it's taken me a few days to come down off of that frustration, stress, you know, that anger, And even, you know, I may physically calm down or whatever, but psychologically it's still kind of lingering in the back of my head. And, you know, it's just, you know, I can still feel it within my body. So, I have, you know, prayed to God probably several times, you know, over my life that, Lord, you have to take this off of me because I'm trying to let it go, but it is hard because, you know, I'm hurt. I was hurt, you know, and so it's just beyond me. So I've done that several times.
Yeah. Well, for me, I wasn't trying to ask God to let it go. I was tricking myself and other people into thinking that it really wasn't bothering me when it really was. Instead of coming to God and saying, I'm angry, I would act like everything's okay. You know, are you okay? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. God's blessing me. God's keeping me. You know, I'm just having a wonderful day, and there would be something that just wasn't right, you know.
Lester Carver here.
But I think
one of the things I think of that it says in the scripture is that we're to be angry, but sin not. And we have to understand that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So it's natural to be angry, but it is not acceptable to use that anger as an excuse to sin. And I know that, you know, when we renew our mind to the Word of God and what He's asking us to do, allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, because that's why we have the Holy Spirit in us, is to use that power to do something mm-hmm. other than what we would do without it. And I know myself, when I walked according to the flesh, and I have some friends like Mark and others who knew me then, right? And I can tell you that it's a night and day difference between how you operate outside of the will of God and how you operate inside of the will of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is the measure of your obedience. So self-control is a measure, as are the other eight fruits of the Spirit. And if we want to please God, then we have to learn to control that. The other thing about being angry is sometimes we have to ask ourselves, who are we angry against? And I can think of times when I was actually angry at God, and I thought mm-hmm. I was angry at the person who had wronged me or what had happened. And really what I was saying was, God, how could you let this happen to me, right? And so more than anything else, we have to remember, you know, where our anger is being projected, and then there are times to really repent at those times when we are angry at God and we will not admit it.
Amen.
This is Dr. Susie, and, you know, we're talking about forgiving the unforgivable. And, you know, when you're angry, is that forgivable? But the unforgivable to me seems to be deeper than that, more like murder, more like, but even though, Eric said, we struggle with forgiving the simple things, but I think those are more temporary, and the really difficult things or life-changing things that challenge our faith walk, challenge whether we will serve God or we will operate. And I guess the principle is the same. It comes down to, are we going to serve God or are we going to operate in self, in our own way? Either way, but I think that there is a mental challenge that occurs when it's something like a murder, like a rape, sexual assault. And if you all disagree, I'd like to hear that. I mean, I just think it's on a larger scale, that's all.
Yeah, I agree, Dr. Susie.
This is Eric. I mean, it is on a larger scale, and that's what I'm saying. If you can't master those small things, and that's why I made that statement, then you're absolutely not going to master the what we're calling the unforgivable. I mean, because you haven't had any practice in these small things. And so the question becomes to me is, and Brother Carver hit on it, is that, you know, you can be angry and sin not. So we call it righteous indignation. But how can I do that? I mean, I know how it says that Jesus did that and Jesus' zeal for what he was doing. So if it's based on trying to protect what belongs to God, that's possible. But getting angry about stuff that is immaterial, at some point, if we don't forgive, then we start to plot how to get even, and that's the scene.
Amen.
Hi, this is Mary. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes.
I was just going to add that I think age and wisdom allows one to be more forgiving than youth. So the things that would make us angry and that would keep us in that mindset in our 20s and 30s, probably the way the brain is made up wouldn't anger us or keep us as angry as it does when we become, you know, mature adults. That's just how the brain is wired. So even the unforgivable will have a sting, but it won't be as present in our day-to-day as it would be, say, in the 20s and teens or even as a child. You may think about it. You may have forgiven someone, but I think that as we become older and more mature Christians, that it's more tolerable.
That is a very good point.
Well, thank you.
Well, statistics show that when there has been assault, that people think the children aren't impacted. Or babies have been known to be impacted when people thought, oh, they're just kids, it won't hurt them. But they go through the same psychological, that when you're young, the brain is a sponge. And as you get older, you know, the ability to adapt and be flexible, is you lose. So that's in support of that. But also don't think that because it's a child there, that if there's abuse going on in the home or they're fighting, that child is impacted tremendously by that. And they've got studies that show that they wonder why kids have problems when they're growing up as teenagers, and they go back now and they realize that there was abuse in the home. And so they're tracking that and discovering that, you know, it has some impact later on in life, even though the parents were thinking, oh, well, they're just a baby. They don't know what's going on, but the brain does. Exactly.
Well, that's totally different than forgiveness. We're talking tracking.
Right. It is.
But
right.
To your point, and collectively, I think forgiveness is something learned and practiced every day. Right?
Amen.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. I just want us to be careful that, you know, sometimes I think people, when they're, you know, they're listening to us, that they need to think, oh, well, you know, things are going on in our home, and, you know, I'm not, and the issue that we're looking at is forgiveness, but, you know, the forgiveness is just between me and my spouse, but it's involving everybody around you, whatever that's happening. The environment impacts your children, the people who are in your space. Everybody's impacted by that. And you're right. Forgiveness is really important, and I agree with you, Mary.
And sometimes, go ahead,
how would one best teach a child to forgive? Mommy and daddy were arguing, we were angry. I mean, does one say, please forgive mommy and daddy for making too much noise? Or does one say, we forgave each other last night, or would you not even address it? I think it's important that adults should be accountable to children if the home is upset in some kind of way. But I don't think it happens
right.
enough.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
I agree with that. I think the children need to see forgiveness modeled.
Right.
I think that's very important.
Right. Right.
And I think in reality you want to not do that in front of the children first to protect them. You know, you don't want to have that kind of abuse in front of them so that they have to deal with trying to recover from it.
I remember when I was young, I would say, when I have to argue with my husband, I'm going to have a soundproof room so my kids won't have to hear it.
Mary, I agree. I agree that there's some things that they need to see that things aren't perfect and that people disagree, but they need to see how you can disagree in an agreeable way. You know what I mean? We need to teach methodologies in which we can agree to disagree. We can we can have a disagreement, but we don't have to be violent or we don't have to hurt one another in order to do that. And
right.
that to me, yeah.
This is Eric. Mayor, I want to make this statement, and because I know you're absolutely right, but I was raised by my grandparents, and I never saw them argue. I never heard them argue. Now, did they argue? I'm sure they did. But the kids never saw it, and we never heard it. And I don't know if that took place while they were in the car by themselves or if, you know, late at night when we were all asleep or what it was. But I can also tell you that when they did have disagreement, you know, they would say, okay, so, you know, we're having some tension, as was their word, and we're trying to work that out. Now, as they got older, you know, as I got much older, that didn't seem to be the case anymore, is that the tension seemed to arise in front of the adult kids. It certainly wasn't children, but of the adult. So, you know, what did that really say? I don't know, but I know that they help to understand about forgiveness, and, of course, the Holy Spirit absolutely makes it work.
This is Sean. I was just going to say, I think, you know, most people don't do, you know, what you're saying in terms of should they, you know, explain to their kids or apologize, you know. You know, I grew up, adults argued openly in front of us as the children. And, you know, and I don't know, I think maybe the philosophies is generational to some degree because, you know, my family was old school. My parents are old school, and they believed their kids were like their possession. So they're like, they can do whatever they want to do, but you just do what I tell you to do, you know, kind of thing. So it was a very authoritative, dictating type environment. So, they argued about whatever, and, you know, they wasn't trying to hide nothing. They was just like, you know, you hear it, and so what, you know, kind of thing. And they never came back to – it didn't seem that – let's put it this way. They didn't seem concerned, okay, about the effect of that on the children in the house, you know. And I saw many, you know, families like that, you know. And that's why I kind of think it's a generational thing, you know. I think people now are more conscious of that type of thing, and I think that's probably why kids probably have a little more power than they did back in the day. You know, kids were there, but what they said, present, but they weren't heard. And so I don't think people really thought about the psychological effects of what, you know, arguing did to their children, you know. So I think it would be great. That's why we needed counseling back then, and that's why some of these people are the way they are today.
Amen.
True. Well, you know what? Yeah. This is Lester Carver here. There are a lot of African-American PhDs on the line, and there's a book called The Slave Community that really helps to pinpoint a lot of these ideas of the dynamic that we our households and our organizations. And you know, if you ever have a chance to Google it, pick it up on Amazon. Highly recommend it. The Slave Community.
Mm. Yeah, we have a lot of scars from slavery. That's for sure. And our relationships with each other, especially men and women, and the way it was in slavery times as far as the black family. And a lot of that is carried over.
I'm sure those scars existed in non-slavery families as well.
True.
Yes. It sounds like a great reason.
There's some differences, I think, with the slave family, because the men, well, we don't need to get into that.
It's 736, Doctor.
We're forgiving that, right?
That's right. We're forgiving.
That's right.
Look at our text. Our text was from Ephesians 4. And from verse 17 through 24, it kind of talks about the old life and the new. And I wanted somebody to just read again verses 25 to 32, because it really talks about a new life that we need to have, I think, to be able to forgive. Somebody read that for us again.
Therefore, stripping off falsehood, let everyone speak truth with his neighbor, because we are intimately related to each other as parts of a body. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down before you have dealt with the cause of your anger. Otherwise, you will leave room for the adversary.
Read the verse 32.
Oh, okay. The thief must stop stealing. Instead, he should make an honest living by his own efforts. This way he will be able to share with those in need. Let no harmful language come from your mouth, only good words that are helpful in meeting the need, words that will benefit those who hear them. Don't cause grief to God's Spirit, for he has stamped you as his property until the final day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, violent assertiveness, and slander, along with all spitefulness. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, and forgiving each other, just as in the Messiah God has also forgiven you.
Amen. So this talks about really a changed life. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, so if anyone is in Christ, there's a new we are a new creature. The old has passed away, and the old, all things have become new. So talk to me about this text here in regards to the last verse says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you.
It sounds like he's just saying renew your mind, replace your way with my way, right? And so right before that, in 31, he just says get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, violent assertiveness, and slander with all spitefulness, right? But then you have to replace it with tenderheartedness, with forgiveness, right? And when we understand what we've been forgiven for, and I don't think that's one of the missing ingredients, is we say that we accept God's grace and God's mercy, his forgiveness, and yet we don't dispense that grace and mercy to others because something down inside of us says we don't really need God's grace and we don't really need God's mercy. We don't really need to be forgiven. It's almost as if we're saying, I haven't done anything yet, you know? And we don't understand how righteous God is and how much he has, in fact, forgiven us and how much he does forgive us for each and every day.
Amen. And I really think that is key to understand. For us to forgive, I think it really helps our ability to forgive if we realize how much we've been forgiven for. And to realize that our life is supposed to be changed. And I think that's what this text is really getting at, is that the old life, we should not be clinging to that. We should be moving toward the new life. And I think Eric said when we first started out, you know, it would be hard to forgive even the little things. I think that's what you were implying. So it would really be difficult to forgive the unforgivable. And I remember the man that forgave the person that killed his son. They had it on television, and he went to the guy and he forgave him for killing his son. And I think that would be very difficult when I think about someone perhaps killing my daughters, or one of my daughters. But the key is we can't, that kind of forgiveness is not of us. That didn't come from us. There's nowhere in the world that we could forgive somebody like that without the Holy Spirit, without God being inside of us, without God changing us. So if there is no change in us, then I really don't think we have the capacity to forgive the unforgivable.
This is Dr. Susie. You know, I'm thinking about the text, and what's amazing me is I'm thinking about it is, you know, are we being conscious in understanding, you know, I heard Lester say real early in the conversation that he could look back on his life and see the difference between who he is today and who he used to be. But I think that takes growth and maturity. I think young Christians, if they're not taught or educated or encouraged or mentored into looking at the fact that, yes, we're told the scriptures that we're supposed to have a transformed mind. Yes, we're told we're supposed to be a new creature, but what does that look like? You know, what does that feel like? What is that in reality? And I think when you're younger, specifically when life is, you don't think about the end of life, it's really important to stop and say, look, what's supposed to happen is who you are today is a picture of who you are. When you look back tomorrow, the next day, the day after that, even in that short of time, you should not be the same. We should be every day making intentionality, using intentionality of saying, okay, I'm not going to do this. And catching yourself, correcting yourself. Oh, I let that word come out of my mouth. I'm going to have to watch that. I'm intentional. I'm not going to do that again. And I remind myself that I do better and I do better. And so eventually I become a different person. One of the ministers used to say it this way, whichever one you feed, there's two dogs, the old man, the new man, as an example. Whichever one you feed is the one that's going to grow. You know, and that's a good image to see a puppy growing. But in reality, we don't want the old carnal man to grow. We want the spirit man, the new creature, to grow. And so we have to be intentional in putting the scripture, intentional in surrounding ourselves with people who can remind us, oh, you need to, you know, come on, brother, you got to change that. Or even you see what they do and you want to be different because they're different. I mean, we have to be intentional in our walk to be better, else we'll be the same. Haven't you noticed that there are people who are 85 years old and they still old folks doing the same thing?
Amen.
In the church.
So the transformation is key. And
very much.
And I think Mary said it earlier about people when they're younger have a different perspective than when they're older. Go ahead, you were going to say something?
No, go ahead. I just want us to be real clear. I was just wanting us to be real clear that everybody's come up with excellent ideas, and the reality is that, you know, from simple things to people asking you how you doing, and of course we always.
Hello?
We always have to, somebody was doing something. But we always have to be intentional to reach. Hello? Can you hear?
Hello. Yes,
hello?
I can hear
now. Hello?
We can
still
hear
everybody
here
now?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. Dr. Nix kept saying hello. I don't know why he was doing it. Maybe he couldn't hear. But anyway, go ahead. Hello?
Hello.
Dr. Nix.
Yes, okay. We are getting close to 7:47 now, Dr. Susie. I wanted to get into some examples I just wanted to talk about, David and Bathsheba, and also Joseph and his brothers as some examples of difficulty forgiving the unforgivable. But I think we've shared a number of things tonight that reflect on that forgiving the unforgivable. Just wanted to say that next week I want us to talk about forgiving ourselves as kind of a preview. Sometimes the unforgivable is ourselves, and I think this is really prevalent sometimes in divorce cases, sometimes in situations where somebody passes away, and sometimes we lay guilt upon ourselves, and it's hard to forgive ourselves. So that is what we want to talk about the next time.
Okay. If you don't mind, if you would take a second and kind of recap, I was trying to write some of that down. Dr. Nix, if you could kind of recap what we covered tonight. And then I'll do the praise reports and prayer concerns.
We covered tonight some of the points. Forgiveness is a process, practice. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is impossible. Apart from God, the path to forgiveness is not intended to be walked alone. Forgiveness is tangible. It's beyond mere words. Forgiveness heals the forgiver. And we talked about what is the unforgivable for some of us. What are some things that we would have a hard time forgiving someone for? And I think many of us reflected on the fact that we need some help in forgiving, and maybe talked about some of the things, even from our culture and our childhood, that would influence what we feel would be unforgivable, or maybe even how forgiveness is dealt with. And we talked about the fact that there needs to be a changed life. We need some help from the Holy Spirit and from God in order to really forgive the unforgivable.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Do we have praise reports and prayer concerns tonight?
Lester Carver here, yes. I'd like prayer for my son for his continued healing and for him to be able to, for his training with the Army. And I'd also like prayer for my aunt who is recovering from a brain aneurysm and stroke.
Okay. This is Sean. I just wanted to give a praise report. First of all, I want to thank everyone on the line for praying for me. I'd asked for prayer last week regarding some medical tests that I had been undergoing and that it would be a good report, and I just wanted to let everyone know that God answers prayers and that it was a good report, and I am healed, and all is well with my body, and I just thank God for it, and, you know, it's, I guess I just really want to, first of all, just really just give God the glory for the healing because he is the one that heals us and keeps us well. Second of all, as believers, I think we have to hold true to the word of God because I kept, you know, believing in my heart and saying that he healed me even though my body didn't feel well. I just want to encourage us all to keep that in mind whenever we may not be feeling well, that we have to have the courage to go and find out what's really going on with ourselves, with our bodies, but yet not wavering in our faith and trusting in God's word, you know. So I'm not going to take up a lot of time because I know time is limited here, but I just want to thank everybody for that and just give God the glory for healing me. I just ask for prayer that you guys would continue to lift me up in my finances, in my search for a job or a contract within my business, and continue to lift up my mother and her healing and recovery from her illness as well. So thank you all.
Amen.
This is Mark. My prayer support is just, I thank God for giving me favor on my job to do it well and be recognized. My prayer is for my daughter and her mother as well as everyone on the line in regard to businesses and job opportunities.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie, and I ask for prayer for my sister, Shirley, who has just recently been diagnosed with cancer, lung cancer, and we just ask for prayers for her, that she would be strong and that she experienced the presence of God in ways that she never has before, and that she would have the strength. And that God would bless us to be able to get to Tulsa, you know, because we need to get there. And we're limited resources. We need to get there and have a place to stay. We need a hotel and transportation. And we're just asking God to be able to bless us in that way. So we ask for your prayers. Traveling mercies. Anyone else? Is there anyone else? If not, let us go before the Lord and lift these concerns. God, we come before you right now, and we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your name. We know you are excellent, oh God, and you've blessed us, you've protected us, you've been with us. Lord, you promised never to leave us nor forsake us, and that's exactly what you have done, Lord. You have been with us, and you walk beside us. Lord, in our challenges and our praise reports, we want you to know that we thank you for, you know, the healing of Lester's son. We pray for his aunt. We lift up son's mom. We praise you for her healing. We thank you and also ask you to pray for, to bless our jobs and those where we are hunting for jobs, that you would open the door and give us favor. We ask for finances to be blessed. We ask for our businesses to all be blessed. We ask for favor and blessings on her mom. We ask for the blessings for Mark's daughter and her mother and all of our business, his job. We thank you for the favor he's gotten on his job. Lord, I pray for my sister Shirley, and I just ask that you would be with her, you'd hold her, you protect her, and you let her know and experience you in a way she never had, that the grace of God is sufficient for all of us, and that we can experience your blessings, your favor, your love, and a peace that never that passes all understanding, that you promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And we just thank you, oh God, as we go before you, that you remember that, Lord, we're trying to understand how to have a forgiving heart, that even when things are challenging, that we will let that new creature lead and guide and direct us so that we can give you all the honor and the glory. Lord, you know everything about us. For those of us who weren't even able to lift a prayer, Lord, you know the concerns that are in our hearts. You know what's happening in our homes. You know what's going on with our jobs. For our listeners tonight, we ask blessings for their health. We ask healing for their illnesses and their sicknesses in their lives. We ask blessings on their finances. Lord, we know that somebody right now is looking for a job. And, Lord, you know that they are in need. But Lord, we're bringing it to you, and we know that you can do all things but fail. And so because of that, we're lifting their concerns as well. There's some mother who's looking for food for her children. Lord, you can provide. Somebody who needs to have funds to pay for their bills, Lord, you provide that as well. So we are trusting right now in the name of Jesus for all that we lack. We know that you will provide all things through Christ who blessed us. We come before you now and forevermore. We just release these things to you. We will let go and let God, trusting that you will do what you have said. We ask these blessings. We trust you now, and we all say amen in agreement. In Jesus' name,
amen.
We pray.
Amen.
Amen. This is James. I just want to apologize. I'm on call for as a chaplain, and I had to answer a call at the hospital, so I had to get off for a few minutes. So I apologize for that.
We didn't notice that you were gone, Doc. It's okay.
Okay.
But thank you, and God bless.
Okay.
Amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.